Friday to Ramesh the Chavches, Shvat Tovshin Pei, Ribosha Richmond.
I'm watching, don't worry. Yeah. Ooh. That's okay, like that. That's brilliant. No signal. Alright. okay. Let's get a drink. Okay, the mice, I was in shul. Oh, whoops. Mooks. I was in shul yesterday, and I liked Toraway, because they put your picture up everywhere. So I was standing by the picture, hoping someone would recognize me. And someone said, oh, you're doing Toraway tomorrow. So he goes, make sure, whatever you talk about, make sure you know the sugya very, very well. Because people might ask questions. So I changed what I was going to talk about. I'm going to talk about football for the next 35 minutes. I hope no one minds. No, but Lamaisa, I was wondering what to talk about. I saw a Gemara. I think it was in Megillah. I saw it years ago. To be quite frank, I don't remember exactly where it was. Maybe someone can help me. I think it's in Megillah. There's a famous Chazal. It says like this. Because Avraham Avinu saw through, let's say, Ruach HaKodesh. He saw that in the future, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And the Yidden are not going to be able to bring Korbanos anymore. So he says to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, what's going to be when we can't bring Korbanos? How Am Yisrael going to get schar for the Korbanos? So there's a famous Chazal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, he says, don't worry, when they learn about the mitzvahs, when they learn about certain mitzvahs, so you get the you get the schar like you're doing the mitzvah, ki'ilu. Yeah, how exactly it works, I don't know. But when you learn about certain mitzvahs, if you're potter from doing the mitzvah, or you're not potter, if you're onus, you can't do the mitzvah, but you learn about the mitzvah, therefore that's how you get schar for the mitzvah. So I decided I'm going to talk about something today, which is Nishnegeya. It's probably not negeya to anyone in the room. But we're going to talk about it to get schar for the mitzvah. So what I'm going to talk about today is all the halachas if you come late to shul. So I know no one in this room has ever been late to shul. So therefore, so we're going to discuss it anyway, purely for the schar, Rabbi Isai, for the schar. So there's all these incredible halachic inyanim, shailas that come up, which we're going to try and get through some of them. And we're going to see the chashivas of tefillah and what to do if you're late, what's called late, what's called early. Hopefully we'll have some fun while doing it. I always think if someone's consistently late to shul, not me, if someone's consistently late to shul, I'm not looking at anyone, if someone's consistently late to shul, so normally there's foundation problems there. Yeah, it's normally, you do sometimes get people who are just late people, they're just late for everything in life, but you also get people. But there's foundation problems. I think there's two major foundation problems to people who are consistently late for shul. One foundation problem is they don't really connect to the tefillah. They don't really see the davening and Hashem answering their tefillahs. They daven for things consistently every single day, the same things every day. And things seem to go consistently average, consistently okay, yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. So they don't see that there's no consistency. They don't see that tefillah is being answered straight away. And they think if I come 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, it's nishkafelach, it's not such a big deal anyway, I'll catch up, and everything like that. So what's interesting is I heard a story just about, you know, we don't realize sometimes that our tefillahs are answered. So I heard this story Haskell Levinson, he was the Mashgiach in the Mir back in, I think, probably the 20s or 30s, I'm guessing. He was the Mashgiach. He said that he moved to Eretz Yisrael later in life. And he said, he writes that he was in a taxi once in Eretz Yisrael, driving for a very, not from neighborhood. So he's in this taxi sitting in the front, and he's obviously in his frock, and he's got his beard and his hat. And he's sitting there, and he's driving through this neighborhood, and the taxi driver keeps on looking over to him. So he thinks, I'll strike up a conversation. So the Rav says to the taxi driver says to the Rav, he says to him, you're a rabbi. He goes, yeah, better, yeah, I'm a rabbi, yeah. So he says, I have a friend, he lives in Bnei Brak, he's also a rabbi. He says, I'm a rabbi. So yeah, Rabbi Heskel's thinking, oh, that's an interesting conversation, it's very random. This guy sitting here with a sleeveless top, cigarette in two hands, yeah. He's like got his feet on the wheel, he's driving with his elbows, he's got 617 tattoos, and he's got this friend in Bnei Brak. He goes, yeah, I've got a friend in Bnei Brak, and his wife wears a shetel, and they've got 15 children, the Kanaina, that one's called Hora, yeah. And in Bnei Brak, he learns Torah all day. And Rabbi Heskel now is thinking to himself, wow, that's unbelievable. Who is this? How has he got this friend? He says, yeah, we're best friends. We grew up together. We're in the army together. So now he's getting very excited. He says, what's the foundation to the friendship? How did you know each other? He goes, I'll tell you a story. He goes, many, many years ago, he goes, there was a war in Eretz Yisrael. And he goes, me and this rabbi who now lives in Bnei Brak, we were in the army together. And we weren't from. So he said, if we survived the army, he said, if we survived the war, I think it was a war of independence, I'm not sure exactly what war it was, but he said, if we survived the war, so we're going to go on a trip. So they said, they both, Baruch Hashem, they survived the war, so they decided they were going to go on a trip. So they went traveling around the world, and one time they were stuck in this kind of jungle or something like that, camping out, and they see in the middle of the night, this taxi driver wakes up, and he looks to his left, and he sees his friend, and his friend's got this snake wrapped around his neck, like strangling him. Yeah, I wrote it down, the boa constrictor, for everyone who is anyone from South Africa, so you don't, yeah, you know what it is. But anyway, so, I don't think there's snakes there, but anyway. So he's got this snake wrapped around his neck, strangling him, and Rabbi Heskel, he's listening to the story, and a taxi driver goes, yeah, and I woke up, I didn't know what to do, and he's dying, and he's gone blue, and he's foaming at the mouth. So he knew what happened next. The taxi driver goes, so we grew up with Sfardim. We grew up a little bit, you know, we weren't Shomer Mitzvot, but you know, we knew a little bit about things. So I said to him, my friend Motti, you're probably going to die. He said, say Shema Yisrael. My grandmother always says, you say Shema Yisrael. So Motti's on the floor and he's foaming at the mouth, he's got a snake there. And he says, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elkeinu, Hashem Echad. As he says it, Rabbi Heskel says, the snake suddenly goes off, out the tent, into the distance. So Motti's lying on the floor. Whole life is saved. He can't believe it. He looks at Yossi, the taxi driver, and he says to him, Yossi, Zehu, that's it. Yesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam. There's a God in the world. I'm going back to Eretz Yisrael. He goes back to Eretz Yisrael. He lives in Bnei Brak and has all the Gans Mishpacha. So the Heskel's listening to this story and looks at the taxi driver. The taxi driver's like wearing a sleeveless top and smoking cigarettes in it. He says to him, no, what about you? So the taxi driver looks at him and he goes, the miracle happened to my friend, not me. Right? Lemaisa, sometimes in life, we daven all the time. We just need to open up our eyes to see that Hashem is answering our tefillahs. We need to just open up our eyes. That's one foundation problem why sometimes people, chas v'shalom, might be late. Another foundation problem, and I think this is quite, I see this a lot in school, sometimes with the kids in school, and I also see this with adults sometimes, so they may not admit it. Sometimes it's hard to connect to the words of tefillahs. What exactly are we davening for? The translation? Do we understand what we're saying when we say Pesukei Dezimra, when we say Asherah, when we say Aleinu, Shemona Esrei? Are we able to understand and connect to the words themselves? It's another foundation problem, isn't it? I daven in English at the end of Shemona Esrei, and I suddenly have Kavana. I daven in my own language, suddenly I have Kavana. When I daven in Hebrew, it's a little bit more difficult for me to connect to the words. So I'll come 5-10 minutes late. I'll say a little bit less of Pesukei Dezimra. It's not a big deal. So I'll tell you, I thought of this myself, so I'm extra proud. So I'll tell you what I think the answer is to this fundamental question of how do I connect to the Hebrew. So obviously, anyone with time, or with about time, should make time, should learn Chazal and everything else about the words, what you're saying, what's the Shorashim, what's the roots of all the words. Fine, put that to the side for the second. That's obviously a Chatzkila. But how can you connect to the words? So I remember about 5 years ago, 5 years, I can tell her now. 5 years ago, my wife she had a birthday. She has a birthday every year, but 5 years ago she also had a birthday. And I remember it was about 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I woke up and I had the feeling of, I forgot to get you a card. I didn't get her a card, and she's very machmir that I should get her a card. And 2 shekels a year, not shekels, no. Anyway, so it's very machmir I should get her a card. So I woke up in the morning, about 6:45 in a hot sweat. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't got her card. Oh my gosh, I haven't got. This is a woman who gives me a card with like 17 pages of, you know, of attributes about myself, which is easy for her to do. It's harder for some people. But anyway, it's 6:45 in the morning. I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've got to get her a card. It's Sunday morning. It's 6:45. So I did what every good husband does. Don't get up yet. Don't get up. Sleep in more. It's your birthday, yeah? I'll go downstairs. I'm going to dub an extra early. So, Sunday morning. Run out of the house, 6:45. Got to get a card. 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 So I'm driving and there's nowhere. Nowhere's open. Right? I think I was in the middle of London. Nothing's open. Suddenly, I find like a, what's it called in the desert? A mirage? No, what's it called?
Oasis.
No, an oasis in the desert, and it was real. A Shell garage. So I quickly stop in the Shell garage, I go in, and I'm like, card section, I find the card section, I open up the card section, I say, one card. And it's to my wife on your birthday, I open it up, and it's like a whole poem written. My wife is like a this, and like a that, and like a this, and like a that, and the way you fry the schnitzel, the whole thing, yeah, 3 pages of poetry. So I buy it, no problem, about £5, I bought it, go home. There's no space to write anything, there's no time either, and I just write, dear, that, loved it. Close the envelope, go upstairs. She goes, oh, get me, you got your card. Yeah, I give her the card. Yeah, she opens the card, she's looking at it, I'm getting ready for the, yeah. This card, she goes, it's the most beautiful words I've ever seen in my life. I was like, I know, it took me a while. So. That's Chazal. Yeah, that's Chazal. The same way sometimes in life you rely on other people's words because they get things. Whoever, this Hallmark factory, whoever makes the cards in, probably like 7-year-olds in China, they get what you have to tell someone. They get what you need to say on a birthday. And I trusted in them. I put my faith, my emunah, in these people. And it's the same thing with Chazal. With Chazal, you have to put your faith in emunah in Chazal, that they know what they're doing, that they know what Pesukei Dezimra is, and they know what all of these wonderful tefillahs are. Obviously, the Chatchila, you should learn about them. But even if you haven't got the time sometimes, or right now you're not in the Inyan so much, at least you should have complete faith and trust, just like the birthday card, that will, I mean, times a million and a million and a million, that Chazal know exactly what they're doing. When it comes to being a late person, I just want to say quickly, I did a course in Eretz Yisrael, the Smicha type thing, and I remember we had to go on a time management course. So I missed the beginning because I was 5 minutes late. But anyway, so I walked into this time management course that we all had to go to, and I'm somewhat of a late person. So I walk into this time management course, and as I'm in there, he starts the thing. There's about 20 people in there, and they're all early people. They're all doing smichas, and they're very academic, and I'm kind of got in through clearance. And I'm basically in this room with all of these people, and he starts this, he's actually English, I can't remember his name. He starts this time management course. He says, who here is an on-time person? So I'm like, I don't put up my hand. Well, nothing to be ashamed of. Yeah, we've all got middays, so we have to work them. And everyone in the room puts their hand up. They're all on-time people. I was like, this is going to be fun. Yeah. So it's me. And so they've all got their hand up. So then he says, okay, who in this room plans when they go somewhere to be early and not to be on time? So I'm thinking, no one does that. Who does that? Like, what? You plan to get somewhere on time. Everyone in the room, apart from me, put up their hand. It was a massive chiddush. The chiddush is that people who do, you're like, of course. The chiddush is people who turn up on time in life plan to be early, Rabbi Isai. This is where I was going wrong all these years. So if Shacharis starts at 9 o'clock, the question is not, when's Yishta Bach? The question is not, oh, it starts at 9 o'clock, so I'll get there at 9 o'clock. You've got to put on your tefillin, you've got to put on your talis, not in that order. Yeah, no. So you've got to put your talis, you've got to put your tefillin, you've got to say brach toy, you can say brach shashi, you might have to go to the toilet, you might have 16 coffees, you might need to quickly turn on your phone, off your phone, off your fachas for shalom, yeah? It takes a while to prepare yourself for davening. Now, I just want to say, so you plan to get to tefillah early. I can't give you a rule how early to get there, because Chazal don't give you a rule. There is a Mishnah, a famous Mishnah in Brachos, which everyone knows, which is not the halacha, which is the Chassidim Rishonim, right? The Tzaddikim in the early generations, that they would spend, an hour preparing for tefillah. L'maisa nowadays is not shaykh. I don't think for most people to spend an hour, you should spend at least 2 hours. But most people, it's not really shaykh, but most people you should spend at least, if it's a minute, 5 minutes, 30 seconds, 10 minutes, before you're davening, what am I doing here? Why am I here? What's the point of this tefillah? As in Chazal give you leniency, when it comes to this limud, Chazal give you leniency to build yourself up before you daven. They don't give you set guidelines, how long should you wait, because sometimes the less is more and sometimes more is less. You know, they're lenient here to give you more space and for you to make the decision. They're not trying to control you. It reminds me of a joke. You know, the guy goes, Mendel, he goes to the marriage counsellor of his wife, right? So they sit down and the marriage counsellor goes to Mendel, do you find your wife controlling? And she goes, of course he doesn't, right? So it reminds me that Chazal here are giving you complete and utter freedom, but you should spend at least, you know, 30 seconds, 1 minute preparing for davening. The simon now, coming late to Shacharis, I remember when I was learning it in Yeshiva, that what simon is coming late for Shacharis? Does anyone know? Simon Nun? It's easy to remember. Simon Nun Base. How do you remember? He's a Nebuch. You come late for all over. You see, the Shulchan Aruch does this all over. There's always tricks of how to remember different simanim. Simon Nun Base. Nebuch, you come late for davening. Don't come late for davening. Try and get there on time. Now, everyone sees, they say, you see, the Mechaber, he wrote a whole simon on what to do if you're late for Shacharis. So it's normal to be late. I just want to tell you that, first of all, there's many things in the Shulchan Aruch which are not, you know, different situations. But more than that, the first Mishnah Brura of this simon, the Chofetz Chaim comes in and he goes, Avo lechatchila. You should know, lechatchila, you should come on time. And he starts telling this whole story about how a magid, an angel, spoke to the Beis Yosef and told him, you've got to come on time, because if you come late, you might have to skip parts of davening, and there's a whole process of davening and a foundation. So make sure whatever happens, you come on time to davening. So it's not, the halachas of davening, I always say, it's a bit like when you learn martial arts. Like, you don't really want to have to use it, but, you know, why not? You should learn anyway. So you should know these halachas, but Be'ez Rosh Hashem, you won't need to use them. So the idea of skipping Pesukei Dezimra, the idea of skipping for Pesukei Dezimra, there's a big machloikis here. You see, some people don't skip. Even if they're late for davening, they never skip. They've had daven in order, and that's it. Other people, they come in, they skip straight away. We know the minimum. I'm not going to go into the halachas here. Nothing I'm saying here is you shouldn't take lamaisa, you should ask your rav. Lechumra, maybe, but definitely not lekula. There's a minimum, obviously, to say, which is Ashrei and the two halalukas, number three and number five. But what I would say is like this. There's a machloikis between achroinim and even rishonim, whether you're allowed to skip parts of Pesukei Dezimra. What's the machloikis? So you have, let's call the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur and later the Mishnah Berurah. They hold that although the basic machloikis is you have tefillah b'tzivor, which is davening with a minyan. Let's call that starting with the minyan, or at least davening while there's nine other people davening, tefillah b'tzibur. That's one sad, which is important. And then you also have this inyan of the order of tefillah. It's important that Chazal set it up in a certain way. So what's more important, the order of tefillah or davening with a minyan? That's the machloikas. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch, they hold davening with a minyan is more important than the order of tefillah. It's more important that you daven with a minyan so you can skip parts of Pesukei Dezimra. Okay. Shmoneh Esrei, yeah. Yeah, Shmoneh Esrei, sorry, yeah. I mean Shmoneh Esrei. It's more important that you daven with a minyan than to follow the order properly, yeah? That's more important. The Arizal, based on Azara, he says no. The Arizal says no. It's more important the order of tefillah rather than skip. It's more important to do the order of tefillah and don't worry about the minyan. The minyan is another thing. You answer kedusha, whatever you need to do, but you don't daven with them because it's more important the order of tefillah. That's the machloikas. So you see, most litvisha oila, most kind of tzayekas, litvisha ashkenazim, normally 90%, let's say, they'll skip. Yeah, unless you have a minhag. Otherwise, most people probably in this room, I would guess, probably would skip davening if the once every 15 years they're late for shacharis, right? There's other people, probably Hasidim, a lot of Hasidim, some Sfardim as well, maybe, yeah, who maybe they don't skip. They don't skip. They're soymach on the Arizal, who says not to skip. You should know the Mishnah Berurah, that's the Machloikis. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, he brings the Chochmas Svi, and he says like this. The Chochmas Svi says, really, there's no Machloikis. Really, even the Arizal, when he says how holy, when the Zohar says how holy the order of Pesukei Dezimra is, he's only talking about when you're davening, Yechidus, when you're davening on your own, but when you're davening with a minyan, even he would be moider that you should skip. That's the Chochem Sfif. It's basically three shitas. I think the general minhag amongst Ashkenazim definitely would be normally we skip. Yeah, the Tefillah B'Tzibor in the Shemona Esrei is more important than Yeah, Tefillah B'Tzibor is more important than the order of Tefillah. Right, whereas others would hold not, and then you have the Chochem Tzvi, who's in the middle, and he says it's definitely more important, even according to the Arizal. That's the mainstream Ashkenazim. The order of skipping, I think most of us know, it's very interesting, the order of skipping. So when you come late, obviously, let's say you say Brachas HaShachar, I know there's a whole machloikus, whether you should skip Brachas HaShachar or not, I'm not going to go into it today, just because of time. But let's assume you said Brachas HaShachar at home, you get to shul, you put on your talis, you put on your tefillin, you've had 16 coffees, yeah, and you're ready to daven. And now, so what's the minimum Pesukei Dezimra that I have to say? So, the minimum I have to say is, Ashkenazim here, is Baruch Shema, Ashrei, and Yishtabach. That's like the bare minimum. That's like one little rose for your wife's 50th anniversary. Yeah, that's one little rose. It's Mamish B'Dieved. There has to be a bracha on Baruch Shema. The Baruch Shema has to go on something, so we'll say it's going on the Ashrei. And the Yishtabach has to go on something, so we'll say that's also going on Ashrei. But it's Mamish B'Dieved, yeah? Don't do this, Rabbi Yisai. Please don't do this. Yeah, fine. The next stage up from that is the two Halalukas. So you've got number five, as I call it, which is Arba Kodshoi. And then you've got number three, that third Halaluka, which is Es Shem Hashem. Those two Halalukas are... is that right? Eshem Hashem? Yeah. Those two Halalukas with Ashrei, that's like a better Pesukei Dezimra, right? Still, this is all B'Dieved land. Yeah, this is still all B'Dieved land. But I'm saying if you are late and you can do that Ashrei with those Halalukas, that's significantly better. That's the minimum. And then after that, Ayin Siman Mem Beis, and he'll go through it, the rest of the Halalukas and everything else. Has anyone ever wondered why those two Halalukas and why Ashrei? I always wondered this. Why is that? What have these two Halalukas got to do with Ashrei? Why are these ones more choshev than the other ones? Why not Oz Yashir? That's from the Torah itself. These are only Tehillim. So I saw in the Gemara in Shabbos. Yeah, this is a good Maimachon. Yeah, people should remember this one. I saw in the Gemara in Shabbos. There's a Rashi in Shabbos. In my notes here it says Kuf Ches, but I think that's wrong. I think it's Kuf Yud Ches. Yeah, and the Rashi there in Kuf Yud Ches. The Gemara there says, anyone who says Pesukei Dezimra is mamish, like, brilliant, is a brilliant person, and all this type of, I want my lot to be like the people who say Pesukei Dezimra. But the Gemara never anywhere explains what Pesukei Dezimra is. So the Rashi there, Rabbosai, this is not the halacha, yeah? Don't get excited to come to shul like half an hour later, yeah? Rashi says, what is Pesukei Dezimra? So he said, Pesukei Dezimra, he says it's those two halalukas, and obviously probably Lechoira with Ashrei as well, yeah? So Rashi holds Ashrei and those two halalukas, that's Pesukei Dezimra. So therefore, B'Dieved times 57,000, you could be Soimach maybe on that Rashi, and that's why maybe that those three are more choshev than the others. Just to move on, there's a big machloikas. Let's say you skip Pesukei Dezimra. Do you have to make it up later? Does anyone know? I'm wondering. So I'm just wondering here. Most of the people in this room, if you skip Pesukei Dezimra, do you make it up later? No? Anyone? Yeah, you sure? Did you say sure? You say sure? Are you sure? Yeah. So I'll tell you, it's not so pashut at all. I was always told as a boy, you skip Pesukei Dezimra, you make it up, you say it 17 times, and it's not true. When you look at the poiskim, it's really, really unclear. It's a big machloikus whether you have to make it up. So I saw Rav Eliyashiv and Rav Chaim Kanievsky straight away. They're like, Vadai, you have to make it up. Rav Chaim says, you have to make it up, you have to make it up miyad before you even leave shul. Yeah. So, okay, fine, that's what I was always told. But I saw that the Orach HaShulchan, he says, you Vadai shouldn't make it up. You shouldn't make it up at all. And you know what does anyone know? What's his svara? What would be the svara? What's the logic to say that you shouldn't make it up after davening? Yeah, okay, it's the wrong order. Anything else? Svara, why would it be weird to do it? Yeah. That's exactly what he says. The Orach HaShulchan says, you know, what are you doing here? It's like you've got a banquet with the queen. I don't know, with the king, let's say. And you're going to go and you're going to ask with all these brilliant things. And you go and ask. And then on the way out, you go, oh, is there an introductory meeting? I don't know exactly what a good example is. It's like having the gefilte fish after the dessert. Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't taste nice. You've lost your appetite. So most of the time, the Aruch HaShulchan says it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. The order of tefillah doesn't fit. You can't praise the king after you've asked him for things. It doesn't work. So anyway, so that's what I was always told. Now, I saw one shaila which blew my mind about skipping. The shaila's like this. Let's say you get to shul and for some reason you're late. Yeah, for some reason you're late. But you want to daven in your shul. And you want to daven in your place, in your shul. So are you allowed? But you can daven in a different shul. You're not in a hurry. You can daven in a different shul. So your shul davens at 8 o'clock. And there's a shul next door that davens at 8:30 or 8:15. But I always daven in my shul. So are you allowed to skip parts of Pesukei Zimra to daven in your spot, your makom kavua, in your shul? No? So I would have thought no. Yeah, someone else saying I would have thought yes. Shut up, then I'll tell you. So I'll tell you something, yeah? I saw the poskim, Rosh Hashanah and Orbach, even Rav Eliashiv, yeah? He says, vada you can. Vada you can. Obviously, again, it's bedieved, but he says, if you've got a makom kavua in shul, if you've got somewhere that you daven, that you have kavana there, that that's your place, that you know that the person sitting next to you is not going to drive you sugar, and there's not, you've got space, and you know how fast or how slow the chazan davens, says that's enough that you're allowed to, you'd be allowed to skip Pesukei Dezimra. Now, I just want to tell you, it's all based on kavana. This whole concept of makom kavua, it's very interesting. So Rav Eliashiv says the reason why makom kavua is so choshev and you can skip Pesukei Zimra is because makom kavua is from the Gemara, from the Shas, spoken about in the Shas. Whereas Pesukei Zimra is spoken about, we don't know what Pesukei Zimra is. Therefore, when the two come head on, makom kavua is more important. Now, makom kavua, I heard from a Rav once, an old Rosh Kollel, and I said, what's so choshev at makom kavua? What's so choshev? He said, you see the difference with makom kavua between Avraham and Bilam. He said, Bilam, he goes to curse Klal Yisrael. What does he do when Hashem says no? What does he do? Vas, I can't hear you. Yeah. Hashem says no. So he says to himself, oh, no? Okay, I'll go and look at them from a different angle. He says, Hashem, curse Klal Yisrael. And Hashem says no. He says, okay, I'll go to a different angle and I'll curse them from here. He says, there's no concept of makom kavua. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not that my tefillahs aren't being answered. It's the place. It's where I am. It's the circumstances. It's not my fault. With Avraham Avinu, when Avraham Avinu davens, you don't see a change in makom. You see he's in the same place every time. He davens a set place to daven. He's davening for Sodom, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you save them with his 50, or you save them with his 40. He goes down the same place because it's about him. The davening is not based on changing circumstances and changing places. It's about you. It's about your heart. It's about your kavana. That's why makom kavua, I think, is like such an important thing. So let's say now we learn all the halachas of skipping and we learn all the halachas of how choshev tefillah b'tzibor is. It says in the Gemara in Tainus, it says even if you daven with nish kavana, again, b'dieved, obviously, yeah? You daven with no kavana, but tzibor, the Gemara says your tefillahs are answered. Incredible things about tefillah. I mean, tefillah b'tzibor, you have to, where else do you see? You have to travel 18 minutes walking, maybe driving, I don't know exactly, it's a whole back and forth, yeah? But you have to walk 18 minutes, daven b'tzibor, right? It's a choshev thing, tefillah b'tzibor. So now let's say you say, okay, I want to daven with a minyan. I don't want to be late. I want to daven with a minyan. But there's a Gemara in Brochus, instead of skipping, I'm going to go very, very, very fast. I'm going to daven very, very, very fast. So what's the story with Ashrei? So there's a Gemara in Brochus on Dalad Amud's base, yeah, where it says like this. Anyone who says Ashrei three times a day, Poiseach Es Yedecha, anyone who says Parnasa is from Shemayim, Poiseach Es Yedecha, he's a Ben Olam Haba. Yeah, three times a day. So people think it's like a magic formula. I wake up in the morning, I roll out of bed, it doesn't mean that. It means with kavana. It means that you mean it. It means when you say you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Parnassah is from Shemayim and it's real to you. Three times a day is a chazaka on your life. Three is always a chazaka. Okay, Rashi says it's connected to Gimel Tefillahs. But that's what it is. What happens now? The Mishnah Berurah brings a case. Let's say you go really, really fast and you rush through Ashrei. And as soon as you get to near the end, let's say you're in Oz Yashir, yeah, you're right at the end of before Yishtabach, and you realise, I had no kavana for Ashrei. I rushed through Ashrei, I didn't have any kavana. So what's the halacha? Yeah, so the halacha is, what would you think the halacha is, you have to go back and say, Poiseach Es Yedecha again. Yeah, very good. So the Mishnah Berurah, he says, It's not just you have to go back. You have to go. He brings from the Levush, from the Chayavim. You have to go back, and then all the way to the end from where you left off. So you should realize how choshev poisei chesedecha is. You're a posikah de zimra. So rushing is the rushing. If you don't have kavanah posikah de zimra, you need in poisei chesedecha. Just remember, you need to have kavanah to go all the way back. I remember. So definitely don't rush. I remember when I was in school, I teach in a school, and a lot of the non-Jewish staff, I said to them, what time do you get to work in the morning? A friend of mine, so he goes to me, I get in about 6:45. He leaves the house at 6, he gets in at 6:45. So I said to my wife, I got home, I said, it's so frustrating, I wish I could get in at 7 o'clock in the morning. But I have to daven, I have to get to shul at 7 o'clock, it's so hard. And I literally, she said, what are you doing? You have to daven, what kind of attitude is that? We don't realise, I had to kind of like take a step back for a second. We don't realise, also we're coming early to shul and davening and these type of things. We don't realise, davening's our life. It's not just like, you have to get davening out of the way before you can get to work. Your life is to daven. Okay, your work is also for parnasa and everything else, it's important. But your ikkar is your tefillah in the morning, your ikkar is your davening. So I had to change my whole attitude. It's very, very interesting. Just to tell you quickly, when it comes to mincha, let's say, so let's say there's a basic halacha that if you get to mincha late, or you get to maariv, let's say mincha late, are you allowed to start Shmona Esrei if the tzibor are already governing Shmona Esrei? What's the halacha? You're only allowed to start if you're going to be in Elokein Azar, after the last bracha, when they get to Kedusha. So you can answer Kedusha, and you can, yeah? So it's very interesting. So there's also the Ramah adds, you should try and say Amen to Shomei Tefillah, which is later, and you should bow at Moedim. So let's say now you get to Shul, I always think this, why it's so important at Mincha to get there on time as well. So you get to Shul, and you realise, I'm a few minutes late. So I know I'm not going to be able to finish by the time he gets to Kedusha. So what I'll do is, I'll daven, what some Rishonim hold is Tefillah B'Tzibur. So I'll daven word for word with the Shliach Tzibur. Right? So you get there, you think, you know what, I've learnt my halachas, I need to answer Kedusha, I'm not going to be able to do it. Right? So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to daven word for word with the Shliach Tzibur. So this happened to me last week. Okay, I'm going to daven word for word with the Shliach Tzibur, right? So I'm waiting. I see that he takes three steps back. I take three steps back. I'm ready. I've said Ashrei with Kavana. I take three steps forward. He steps three steps forward. I'm ready to go. I go Baruch. He goes Baruch. I'm like looking at him. I'm like, whoa, I can't keep up. He's like a Porsche, right? And I'm like following in my Privia, right? Like, it's very, very difficult, right? He's going like 100 miles an hour. By the time he gets to Kedusha, I haven't even finished the first Bracha. He's on Shomea Tefillah, and I'm still in Ashrei, right? So it's like, it's not really, a lot of the time, unless you know it's your makom kavura, and you know it's very, very difficult to do this properly. And it's why it's so, so, so important to get to mincha, shacharis, and even maariv also. It's so important to get there on time, because you never know what can happen. I just tell you very, very quickly, to leave on a positive note, the Bir Halacha, he asked the following question. He says like this, so the halacha is, if you're late for mincha, you're not allowed to start unless you can answer kedusha, right? That's the halacha. So are you allowed to start Shmona Esrei with, at the beginning, I got there on time, I said Ashrei, everyone, if I know that this place davens fast, and I'm not going to be able to daven Kedusha. I'm not going to say Kedusha. I'm not late, I'm on time. So what do you think? So I get late, I'm on time for sure, I want to start my Shmona Esrei, but I know I'm probably 99% not going to be able to answer Kedusha. Am I allowed to start? So, very good. To the Chofetz Chaim, Nabir Alacha, he's like, I don't know. He's like, Sorech Ian, I don't know. I don't know. Because it seems that Kedusha is more choshev than Tefillah B'Tzibur. It seems. Because if you're late, you're not allowed to start without Kedusha. So he says, Sorech Ian. The minhag is nishtazoi. The minhag is vada, you should start. Don't worry. Yeah, you should definitely do it. But the Chofetz Chaim says, it's Sorech Ian. I saw in the Chazon Ish, he writes, it's not Sorech Ian. The Chazon Ish says 100% you could start, and I saw the Roy of the Poiskim say there's no problem, Rabbi Yashiv, but definitely the Chazon Ish, there's no problem, you can start Shmona Esrei, because right now I want to daven, and I want to daven with Kavana. And the fact that I'm not going to answer Kedusha, that's an oinus. But the main thing in Tefillah is to connect to Hashem. And we're not going to say to you now, oh, don't daven. Wait, and wait longer. So you have Vadai's daven with Kavana. I'll just finish on a quick note, I saw people often, they hear stories about tefillah, And they think to themselves, oh, it's been 50 years, I'm not going to change. It's been 30 years, I'm not going to change, right? Not going to change, it's hard, it's chazakas and this and that. I want to tell you a story which I read in a science journal, right? And the science journal said like this. It said they had a university, I think it was in Florida, and they had a massive aquarium there, and they had a shark in this cage. And this shark, he would go in every day. The professor would go in, the marine biologist, I think he was, and he'd put loads of little fish in this cage every day. And every day the shark would go and eat them all up in seconds. This went on for a year, 2 years, 3 years. Eventually, they wanted to see if they could change a shark's nature. So late at night, when the shark, I don't know if he was sleeping, but he wasn't looking, I don't know if he even had eyes, they put a very thin fiberglass down the middle of the cage. And he comes in the morning, the marine biologist, and he pours in the fish, and the shark goes and smashes against his glass. And he tries again, and smashes against the glass, and again, and eventually he just gives up, can't bother. And he just goes to the other side. The next morning, the marine biologist, and they take out the fish, and then they give it to the shark later. Next morning, same thing. They put the glass in, they put the fish in, the shark goes, smashes against it. Next morning, the same thing. This went on for about a week. Eventually, the marine biologist walks in, and he doesn't put the glass in. He takes away the glass first thing in the morning. There's no glass today. And he puts in the fish. And the shark looks. He goes, can't be bothered. Nah, it's not for me. He doesn't bother going. He said, you can change the nature of a shark. There was no glass there, but he thought there was. And in life, I'm telling you, you make a little bit of an effort in life, a little bit of an effort with your tefillahs to get there on time. Don't be like the shark. Don't think, oh, there's no hope for me. There's a glass cage there. Because there's no glass cage sometimes. Hashem can do whatever he wants. The Gemara in Brachah says, you have to daven for yourselves. A prisoner can't free himself. You daven for yourself. Hashem will give us all brachah and atzlacha. Take these messages. Strength to strengthen our avodas Hashem. And may all our tefillahs be answered in the Torah.